It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 32. We're going to begin with the first verse and read the chapter today. Hope that you have an opportunity to open your Bibles to follow along. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you can find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time for you to find your place and follow along with me as I read Genesis chapter 32 today. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban, and stayed there until now. I have oxen and asses and flocks and manservants and woman servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight." The messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels, into two bands, and said, "If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape." And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidest unto me, Return into thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of thy mercies, and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me, and the mother with the children. Thou saidest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." And he lodged there that same night, and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother, 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milch camels with their colts, 40 kine and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses and 10 foals. And he delivered them unto the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, "Pass over before me, and put a space betwixt drove and drove." And he commanded the foremost, saying, "When Esau my brother meetest thee, and askest thee, saying, Whose art thou, and whither goest thou, and whose are these before thee? Then shalt thou say, They be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold, also he is behind us." And so commanded he the second and the third, and all that followed the drove, saying, "On this manner shall ye speak unto Esau when we find him. And say ye moreover, Behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterwards I will see his face. Peradventure he will accept of me." So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he arose up that night, and took his two wives, and his two woman servants, and his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok, and took them, and sent them over the brook, and sent over that he had. Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he says, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." He said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with man, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he says, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Now, let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you today for this opportunity to come together and study your word and enjoy it. It's just a privilege, Lord, to be able to read your word and to search it and to be a part of this program that we can continue to share with the folks in the area your precious word. Thank you, Father, for that opportunity, and please that you will guide and lead us as we enjoy this study. As Jacob in the 10th verse said, "I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies." And that's, Father, the way I feel as I stand before you. Please, Lord, that you'll use your word and your strength and touch the hearts and the lives of all that are listening today. And that they will come to know you as their Savior, that they'll begin to walk each day with you and enjoy that precious walk. Please, Lord, power us and strengthen us. Show us your way and will now. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we are about to leave here, the land that Laban had possessed, Jacob had been a part of that for 20 years. We talked about that. We've talked about the 10 times we have Laban had changed the rules on Jacob to get his two wives, and then also the last 6 years, 7 years for each wife, and then 6 years was the for the property, the livestock and all that that he gained. And so we find now at this 20th year that Jacob is on his way back home. He found this not to be his home, and we need to remember that that's the same thing with you and I. This is not our home. We are here for a short time. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are truly a Christian, your home is in heaven in the presence of God, and this is just as a vapor, and we need to look upon this time as that and not set our hearts and our life and so much effort in this life to accomplish things that man call important. We need to see that what we're doing is things that is pleasing unto God. Now, Jacob here has spent 20 years of his life in a foreign land, and he is beginning to recognize that Laban's against him, Laban's sons are against him. There doesn't seem to be any peace here at all, and that's what we'll find here in this earth. The only peace that we have is with our God and a peace that he gives us as we walk through this foreign land. Jacob now is beginning to head home. Laban chases him down, if you'll remember the last chapter, finds him, because if you'll remember what Rachel has taken a couple of his little statues, and they're his gods, and made Laban mad, and Jacob doesn't even know anything about it to this time. And so as we have faced all that and the fuss of looking through all of Jacob's things, and Jacob is wondering, what's going on here? I've abided by everything. Then some of the last statements that Laban makes unto Jacob is, you know, why did you have to hurry off? Why didn't you just come and tell me, you know, and then I would have thrown you a party and gave you my blessing, and off you would have headed back home. But instead of that, you kind of snuck out at night, so to speak, and tried to get away. Why, you know? And Jacob felt like that probably Laban would try to trick him again and again and again. So the best thing to do is just get out. And I think that was probably right. And same goes for this old world. We're not to be in this world. This world is set out to trick and to fool and deceive us. And so we need to see that that's not a part of us, that this deception that the world has, we don't get caught up in that, trying to get what we can get all the time, grab what we can grab. We need to an example. We need to be a testimony for the Lord Jesus. Well, Jacob has not been much of a testimony for the Lord. He tricked Esau back before he left. They had to kind of lie to Isaac, even though they did decide to come over and get a bride. But the Isaac and Rebekah and Jacob kind of went against Isaac there in receiving the blessing. Jacob went against Esau in getting his birthright. Jacob has lived in a foreign land now for 20 years. Much of Jacob's life sure doesn't give us a picture of a good, solid Christian with a wonderful testimony, does it? Well, that's about to change. And it doesn't change overnight, but it does begin to change. And as Jacob went on his way, and that's where we started, if you'll, read verse 55 of the previous chapter, chapter 31, "And early in the morning Laban rose up and kissed his sons and his daughters and blessed them, and Laban departed and returned unto his place. Jacob went on his way." This first verse of chapter 32. "The angels of God met him, and when Jacob saw them, he said, 'This is God's hosts.' And he called the name of that place, and it's Mahanaim." Now, as we look at Mahanaim, that's quite a word. That is two hosts or camps. And, you know, Jacob, when he left, and we kind of looked at that in a few verses here, he said, "When I left my land, I left with a staff." That's all it was. "When I left the land of Canaan, the land of Abraham and Isaac, when I left the homeland to go back to get my bride, why, when I left, I just had a staff. I just had a stick. That's all I had. But now that I'm coming back, I have two hosts." And so we're beginning to make the connection here, the times that Jacob is going to see God, going to find his presence, going to seek his will. And as Jacob now is making this division from the world, from Laban, he begins now to head back, and the first thing he finds is, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. "And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom." And so as Jacob begins, and he has kind of received this this opportunity to meet with these the hosts, angels of God met him. Doesn't really say much about what was said, what was any ministering to Jacob or Jacob to them. There's very little said here in these two verses, other than "Jacob, you're my man. You're the man that's going to carry out and be the stability of the nation of Israel." And so it's beginning, and that's kind of really what we're looking at there in the first verse and the second verse. It's underway. Now, Jacob sends a messenger to Esau. Why would he do that? Well, when he left, if you'll remember, Esau wanted to kill Jacob. And so Jacob, over this 20 years, he has not heard one word, I don't believe, as far as what's going on back home. He doesn't know whether Isaac, Rebekah, he doesn't know whether Esau's alive. He doesn't know anything. But he sends this message back, and he sends it to Esau because he wants to know, "Do you still want to kill me? You know, do I need to be afraid?" And he commanded them, saying in verse 4, "Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau, 'Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. I have oxes and asses and flocks and manservants and woman servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight.' Well, the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, 'We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, 400 men with him.'" Now, we're going to stop there just for a minute. And so what's happening here, Jacob sent messengers to Esau, hoping to find him. Well, in so going that direction, he not only found them, but he found 400 men with him coming towards Jacob. Well, you stop and think, what would that mean to you? you know, word does travel, and all of a sudden this caravan, so to speak, that Jacob has here with these two bands is large enough that it brought some attention. And so here comes Jacob, here comes Esau out to find out who and what and all about it. And he said, you know, you tell them that I have oxen and asses and flocks and manservants and woman servants, and I have sent to tell my Lord that I may find grace in thy sight. And so look at that, and we're going to look back up at the fourth verse here, and a couple statements that Jacob makes. One of them is that he calls Esau his Lord. Now, he tricked Esau out of his birthright. He tricked his dad Isaac out of giving him the blessing instead of Esau. And yet Jacob comes now and says to Esau, my Lord, I am thy servant. It seemed as though that things have changed here just a little bit. You see, Jacob didn't have to trick Esau out of his birthright. Jacob did not have to trick his father. Remember putting the fur on his arms and everything. He didn't have to do that to trick his father out of the blessing, because, you see, God set Jacob first. And so it didn't matter about the birthright, didn't matter about this blessing. All that would have come to pass if Jacob would have just waited upon the Lord. Instead of that, he used all of his ways and his trickery and all those things to make it happen. And, you know, a lot of times we do the same thing. It's not so much that what we're doing is wrong. It's just that we have not waited upon the Lord for the Lord to take care of it and to do it. Jacob was the same way. And because of it, he feared for his life against Esau. Here they came, 400 men with Esau. Well, what would that do to you? I know what it would do to me. I would think that Esau is madder than ever. For this 20 years, he has continued to harbor this hatred. And you know, you would think that Esau, now he hates me more than ever. And so he's going to get even with me. And here he comes with 400 men to destroy me. And Jacob was greatly afraid, in verse 7, and distressed, and divided the people that was with him, the flocks and the herds and the camels, into two bands and two groups, and said, if Esau comes to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. That's pretty clear what Jacob was afraid of. Jacob was afraid of what was to come, and he knew that Esau was coming to kill him. Well, let's divide into two places, because surely he can't kill us all. He'll kill half of us, and the other half will escape. And Jacob said, O God, my father, of my father Abraham, and the God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said to me, return unto thy country, to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. Jacob is remembering what God had said to him. God had told him to go back home. And yet, to what? To be slaughtered by his brother Esau? Now, many times we get into situations where the road that we're going down doesn't seem real clear. It looks like there's a lot of things in that road that could cause us a lot of problems. Well, Jacob has found one of those problems. But what we need to do is, when the Lord has commanded us to do something, and, you know, and when we're serving the Lord, for instance, there's so much happens and so many things take place to cause us to stumble, to go aside, to begin to preach a false gospel, you know, to not really tell the truth, tell parts of the truth. It's so important that we look to the Word of God, that we look to His way and will, that we choose the way that's right in service unto the Lord. Now, as we decide to look ahead, and, you know, God tells us today, we don't need to go beyond today. Jacob begins to look forwards. He sees 400 men coming. He's thinking of the past. Laban chased him out of town. Esau's coming from in the front. Laban's behind him. What hope do I have? and look at his words again. O God of my father Abraham, O God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said to me, Return unto thy country, to thy kindred. I will deal well with thee. I don't seem to have any hope here, Jacob is saying. At this time, you know, we were just talking about in verse 1 and 2, God has come before Jacob, beginning to show himself. And Jacob will begin to walk by faith, but right now he sure isn't. He's walking by fear. But one thing that this situation is showing, he is not walking by faith, but he is recognizing something that we have no record of before. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth. Verse 10. First time that we're finding that this man, Jacob, recognizes that he's a sinner. Now, you know, I've said many times that unless you recognize that you're lost, you'll never be saved. Well, there's some truth to that, because until you're lost, you have no need to be saved. Well, then how can we say that here, for this first time, Jacob has really recognized that he's a sinner? Well, many people that are born-again believers have come by faith. They have turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, trusted in Him, called upon Him, that salvation will come. You know, it just recently we were talking about the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel when the first Passover was instituted. And it was the whole name there is what it amounts to, because the death angel will pass over a home that the blood has been applied. Well, it's the same thing with you and I. And, you know, that was back in Egypt, and that was back when Moses went before Pharaoh, and he came, continued to bring plague after plague after plague, and finally the final plague, of course, was the death of the firstborn. And God had given means to the nation of Israel for salvation. You must apply the blood. And he told them how to prepare the lamb and how to prepare themselves, everything. And all that was very important. But the most critical was to take the blood of that lamb and put it on the doorpost on the lintel. It was so important to apply that blood. They could have done everything else. They could have believed it. But if they did not apply that blood to their own home, their own household, their own family, that death angel would have come right through that door and killed the firstborn. And it's the same thing with you and I. Now today, if we do not listen to the Word of God and come by faith to Jesus Christ and have that personal relationship to Jesus Christ, that's the same thought, the same thing as them applying that blood on that doorpost. We must apply the blood. We must apply the blood of Jesus Christ to our heart to save us, to take our sin away. But many times, after we have taken care of that, truly been saved, come by faith, for some reason we come to this thought that no longer do we really sin. No longer, you know, and we become, and I know many people that have done this, they've become proud. They're very prideful. I am a Christian. They're very prideful. Jacob here is being prepared by God. Jacob here had to be between a rock and a hard spot, rock and a hard place, between Laban behind him and Esau in front of him. Now, he had no idea what Esau meant with his 400 men. He really didn't know what Laban behind was doing. Last time he saw him, Laban was heading home. But he knew he wasn't welcome to go back that direction, and did he think that Laban would help him? He really didn't. And yet he saw the enemy coming, what he thought to be the enemy, on the other side. All this brought him to a place to say, I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies, Lord. And what's it take in our lives that we will turn unto the Lord and do the same? that we will call upon him. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast shown to thy servant. And he continues, he said, look at what you've given me. I am not worthy of any of this. I'm worthy of nothing. Now, we don't walk that way very often, do we? Many times we're way too prideful in what we do and what we say and the way we act. We need to understand that we are worthy of nothing, Lord, that you have given us. And that's the way we need to come to him. Jacob has finally found that place. And he says, you know, when I left this land, I crossed the Jordan with a staff in my hand. I'm coming back, and I got two bands. Now he calls upon the Lord in verse 11, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. You've told me that, Lord. Now how's that going to be when Esau eliminates us? When Esau slaughters us, when Esau murders us, how can this take place? Where is Jacob's faith? Jacob should have known. Jacob should have known as he looked forward. He didn't understand how he was going to come through this, but he needed to present himself right to Esau, knowing God would protect him. But he didn't. He didn't. He immediately then, and he lodged there that same night and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother. Now, I missed verse 12. And thou sayest, I will surely, and no I didn't, thou surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea. That was all a promise God had given him, which cannot be numbered for the multitude. This is what you have given me. This is what you've promised me. Now, the next step is, he lodged there the same night. He took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother. So he takes much of, you know, of what he has, 200 she-goats, 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milch camels and their colts, 40 kine and 10 bulls and 20 she-asses and 10 foals. He delivers them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, pass over before me and put a space betwixt drove and drove. And so he was going to set up several of these. And he commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau my brother meeteth thee, and asketh thee, saying, whose art thou, and whither thou goest, and whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, they be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold also he is behind us. That was the message he was supposed to give. And so commanded he the second and the third and all that followed the drove, saying, on this manner shall ye speak unto Esau when ye find him. And so ye moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me. And afterwards I will see his face, and peradventure he will accept me. And so the present went over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And so as we get to this 22nd verse, we find that he has prepared now all these presents, these gifts for his brother Esau, hoping that that will help. That it will show that Esau isn't coming to do something again, isn't coming to trick him, you know. Why is Jacob so fearful of Esau? Well, every time that they've really had a dealings, Jacob has taken Esau. Esau has every right to be mad. And so as far as Jacob is concerned, he probably is still mad, even though 20 years has passed. Sends these presents before. And then we just have one little division here. He arose up that night and took his two wives and his two woman servants and his 11 sons and passed over the brook, the fork of Jabbok. He took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. So Jacob stays. Now that's where we're going to begin next time, right there. Jacob stays on the one side And here he puts his immediate family on the other side. He has his servants heading these presents forward to give to Esau. And all this is in place now because Jacob really has very little faith. But we're going to see that change here very soon. So please that you join us next time. It's a wonderful study. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?